From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to...
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. The last time K-State went out to play a late game on in the western part of the country against BYU, it didn't go well. They go to Colorado this week to play the Buffaloes, a 9:15 start. Is there anything to that? And first of all, welcome, Fitz.
I'm here to share my thoughts. I still can't explain what happened at BYU. I mean, it was really 5 or 6 minutes of just utter collapse, calamity, everything going wrong. And this is a new game. But they have to prove they can play better on the road. They weren't very good at Tulane, at least in the first half they weren't. So putting together, you know, a more complete game on the road is step one. Whether you win that or not, you got to play better. And I think if they do play well, though, they'll win at Colorado.
So you could tell me that this is not a thing at all, but do you think there's any challenge to go into Colorado and be surrounded by all that hoopla and everything that Colorado seems to be about? Is that maybe if they were pros, they might be able to handle that better, but these are still college kids. Maybe they get caught up in it themselves. Do you think that is at all an element to this game?
Great question, Jeff. I'm not sure. And you know, what really makes this more relevant is the Dylan Edwards storyline, starting at Colorado, now being at K-State. He'll be a huge focal point for Colorado fans and the Colorado players as they keep bringing him up. I did a podcast yesterday, and I originally used a Dylan Edwards photo on it. And then when we recorded the darn thing, we didn't talk about Dylan Edwards because it's not as big a story here. So maybe they'll put that away because Dylan said, no, I'm just going to play a football game. And they won't really get caught up in it. But I know this. The folks in Boulder are caught up in it. And because of that, they've got a really lively and hostile crowd. It'll be packed. It'll be loud. I'm looking forward to it.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, publisher, founder. You mentioned something interesting there about you did a podcast and didn't mention Dylan Edwards. So my question would be, how important is it for K-State football to become offensive, I'm struggling to think of the word, for their offense to incorporate Dylan Edwards in a way where he does become relevant from week to week, and you do talk about him on podcasts?
That's true. I mean, he's been really effective, even when he hasn't touched the ball but been on the field. And that's what, in fact, that's what tomorrow's Daily Delivery video will be about for me, is how to use Dylan Edwards in this game to affect. That may not even mention him touching the ball, at least in, you know, from the line of scrimmage. They're going to be so focused on him, I think it could create a great distraction for Colorado whenever he's on the field. But then again, we got to keep this in mind. Colorado turned over half their roster in the offseason. Dylan Edwards isn't the only one that left. Almost half the team did, and then they brought in another half to be new. So there'll be a big chunk of that team that don't even know Dylan Edwards from anyone else on K-State.
Yeah, how fair is it, I guess, to expect that there will be different things tried? You went into the bye week coming off probably your best offensive showing of the season when everything really seemed to click and just about everybody who was involved had a good game. So was there a week of adjustments? Was there a week of let's continue to do what we're doing? How was the bye week kind of approach for K-State?
They, you know, during bye weeks, they try to get healthy. They try to get rested. I mean, even if a guy is, quote, healthy, not injured, he's hurt. He's got aches and pains, and he wants to get those cleaned up because trust Bob and I when I say, as old people, you get aches and pains you got to live with. Young people, you can get over them. And I think that's what they use a lot of. They run their younger guys a lot, you know, with different sets, working them with K-State's offense and not the scout team as much. They did. Coach Klieman talks about, you know, his freshman quarterback, Blake Barnett, getting to do that. And since he was injured all spring and catching up in the fall, it was really the first time to see him running the K-State offense. So a lot of that goes on. But they did do some Colorado prep. I know that because I think they all realize that this is a big game. And after what happened this weekend with Colorado winning at UCF, this team might be finding itself. And you can't ignore the substance of the talent that they have at Colorado.
Both teams 4-1 heading into Saturday's 9:15 p.m. kickoff in Boulder, Kansas State at Colorado. We're talking with Tim Fitzgerald. Obviously, Colorado has two of the most electric players in college football in Travis Hunter, their two-way, and in quarterback Shedeur Sanders. And neither of them has disappointed. In fact, both of them might be playing even better than anyone could imagine. What's the key for Colorado as this season unfolds, to take those two Heisman candidates and make it so that team maybe can contend for a Big 12 title? What do they need to do better?
We saw them do it at UCF. The two elements there is you got to stop the other team's run, get them off the field. Because if you don't, they can ball hog, and we're not going to see Shedeur Sanders throwing touchdowns if he's standing on the sideline. The other thing is they have to run the ball. They have to keep defenses honest. Once they prove they can run the ball with some consistency and maybe with some threat that it's going to go a long ways, then I think things will get a little bit easier for those two. But I got to be honest, Bob, Travis Hunter is one of the best college football players I've seen in my lifetime. Only because, you know, we talk about players getting gassed because they played 60, 70, 80 snaps. He's playing every snap. Everyone. And he doesn't seem to be winded, and he seems to be still elite on both sides of the ball. It's absolutely incredible what he's doing. And you can't just ignore the massive amounts of talent Colorado has just because they haven't fully gelled. We started to see them gel a little bit in Orlando.
Is the Big 12 playing out sort of like you thought? There, some of the teams at the top may be different than what we expected. Texas Tech is off to a good start. I don't know if we expected this from BYU, and West Virginia played well. So is it the same as maybe you would have expected, the jumbledness of it, or and maybe just the teams are different?
Iowa State you didn't mention.
True.
Yeah. I thought Iowa State is a contender all along. I mean, I think I might have picked them third in my poll in this conference. I think they're legit, but this weekend we'll sort that out in a way. Because they have to go to West Virginia. West Virginia thinks they're on track. They haven't beaten anyone. They just haven't. And certainly in the Big 12. And you look at, substance. And you look at who was I talking about? Iowa State. They got the great win at Iowa. Look at the rest.
You've done
win.
Too many podcasts, Fitz.
That's exactly right. I'm on like my third one in the last few hours. So, I think Iowa State's good. I just want to see more, and winning at West Virginia is more. And if West Virginia beats a good Iowa State team, I think that says, okay, maybe the Mountaineers are in this to play, and that's who K-State plays next week.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com is our guest. I want to go inside journalism a little bit here, because let's say I've been assigned to go write the tell-all feature on DJ Giddens. I'd probably spend a lot of time talking to those who are in his life. What would I get from DJ Giddens? How could I get him? Has anybody ever gotten him to really tell his story? Or is that just kind of an impossibility at this point? We know how quiet he is.
Right. I don't think it's impossible. I just think the setting has to be right. And, you know, for the rest of us, for most of us in the media now, the setting is always a press conference, a media opportunity. or even if you get him on a podcast or something, that just isn't the setting. He's gonna flourish in a one-on-one setting where he's not really conscious of cameras or recorders or. And Bob, this is a good question because I've thought about this. I think the only way to get an in-depth interview with DJ, go fishing with him. Just go fishing with him. Go, you know, have a buddy take you out on a lake, and just spend the day with him, just talking. You can't really have a camera crew per se, but maybe you can set up cameras and have everyone mic'd up and just go talk to him throughout the day. You might get enough for a small article, but I don't know about a book. So he's incredible. He's absolutely incredible as a player and as a person, because it's all about, he wants to go play. He doesn't want to sit around and talk about it. He doesn't want to break down plays. He just wants to go out there and mix it up, and boy, he's turned into a whale of a running back.
He is a load. That ought to be a heck of a game coming up Saturday. Kansas State at Colorado. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, has been our favorite, or our guest. Looking at the word Thank favorite, you. K-State is
You've a been our favorite too, Tim.
You are our favorite, Thank but you. K-State is a 3.5-point favorite in that game. That's a tough game to pick, isn't it?
The Colorado game, yeah. It's coming back down a little bit because I don't know what we're going to see from Kansas State. I just don't. They've been so miserable on the road and played questionable periods that made it almost impossible to win on the road. And yet, this is a good football team. Once they prove it on the road, I think they're going to take off. And they might want it to be this Saturday if they plan on being in the Big 12 championship.
And one other thing before I let you go. We're going to have John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant on the show later in the week. But have you ever seen anything like this? Have you ever seen a team implode?
No.
Even though
no.
KU's playing competitive games, they can't figure out how to win one after very high hopes going into this season, and seemingly for very good reason, they've won one game. How unreal is that?
The way they're losing is unfathomable. To lead all five losses in the second half and four of them in the fourth quarter. So I kind of feel like once they figure out what is going wrong, when teams run their two-minute drill, we just let them score. Because that's what's happening. And they get Jalen Daniels back on track. And honestly, the play caller remembers that they've got really good running backs. Once they figure all that out, shouldn't seem, you know, that far away. They're going to start beating people. I still think they're a really talented team. But now you're seeing the psychological side of it catch up to them. And they're thinking whenever they're in that situation, they're going to lose. And guys, that's the first thing Lance Leipold had to unwind when he took over that program, is that acceptance of failure. And he had it solved. And now it's coming back. And that has to be alarming to him.
Fitz, we always appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, boys. Great to talk to you.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.